This is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True. And I have a special, wonderful, delightful gift for you today. The beloved, beautiful, precious, dear, wonderful, and delightful Sharon Callahan. Welcome, Sharon.
Oh, thank you so much, Iris, and I say all those wonderful things back to you. My great pleasure to be with you at this really important time as we move into Christmas and a wonderful new year of opportunity and light and good things.
Thank you, Sharon. I wanted to tell people more about you. Sharon is an internationally acclaimed animal communicator. She is a minister, the founder of Anna Flora Flower Essences for Animals, the author of Healing Animals Naturally with Intuitive with Flower Essences and Intuitive Listening. She is the founder of Planetary Citizens and the founder of Sacred Spirit Ministry. And I can't say enough wonderful things about the miracles that I have seen in the lives of people and animals as a result of your work, Sharon.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that, but I feel it's just a matter of getting empty and letting God come through.
Yes, and you do that. But you also give your heart and soul and all of your time to that, Sharon.
I do. I can't imagine it any other way. That's what we learn from the animals, isn't it? To put our heart and soul and every moment into everything we do.
Oh, isn't that the best? I've been thinking as we were getting ready to do this about how you talk about looking into the eyes of animals, and sometimes I can hardly bear it because they are imploring us, Sharon.
They are. And I think
you wanted to
anyone listening to our program today is probably a lover of animals, and I think everyone that loves animals has looked into the eyes of an animal and really just been stopped in their tracks because the gaze of an animal is so direct and so compassionate and so loving, and they are imploring us to take this opportunity as we move into 2009 to clean up our act and make the world the sacred place it should be.
Well, I want you to talk some more about that. You know, just on Saturday, I received an email from Patty Diane Cota Robles, and she said that because of current events, so many, millions and millions and millions of people have started to pray that have never prayed before.
That's right.
And that as a result of that, you know, we can only be given from the ascended realms, from the heavenly realms, what we call for and ask for.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to hear... and she said it's more important than ever before that we focus on what we want in our own life and what we want for the planet, because this is a time of assistance that is unequaled in any period of history.
That's right. We're going through a... collectively going through a tremendous shift in consciousness, and Patty's absolutely right. I mean, the opportunity right now for change and transformation and light is just absolutely incredible. I mean, I think any of us that are alive on Earth in this moment, it's not only a wonderful thing, but it comes with quite a responsibility to do everything that we can. And for me, it's a matter of becoming as egoless as possible, so that to me, the notion of wanting anything for myself, that there isn't much left. It's more, what can I do to help other people awake? How can I assist in that? Not that I can do anything, but holding space for people to unflower, to really flower on their own, which of course everyone does, but I think in the kind of work that I do and the kind of work that you do and that Patty does, just holding space for people is such an amazing gift, because it's really like a little plant or seed growing or sprouting. You know, it needs nurturing soil and sunlight, and we can provide that with our energy and through our connection with the animal kingdom, who, of course, holds that vibration for us all the time. Our companion animals, wild animals, I mean, they really hold the energy of the Christ presence for us so that we can grow into that. And it couldn't be more important, and it couldn't be easier than it is right now if we just make it our absolute priority.
Well, you say holding space, but I'm also asking for what I want on Earth, and I've actually given it so much thought about what it would take to actually return this planet to a place that is heaven on Earth. And you know, it used to be, for people that don't know, this place, this Earth used to be paradise. Every place on Earth was paradise, and emeralds and crystals grew up out of the ground like flowers, and the planet was self-luminous, and everything was pristine purity, and nobody ate anybody, and nobody killed anybody.
Don't you think one of the most important things, even if it takes our so-called imagination to start with, is to begin to see the world as that again.
To really see
what it has always been, which is simply covered over by the tremendous egos of groups of people and individual people. I had an interesting experience, Iris. When I was at the gym the other night, I was on this elliptical exerciser, and I was looking out onto this kind of snowy bank that's outside the windows there that you look out on with Mount Shasta in the background. And at first, off in the distance, as I was doing my exercise, I saw these deer coming out of the trees. And so as I observed them, I really visualized them as being jeweled, like not just covered with jewels, but made of jewels, like diamonds and emeralds and rubies. And so each deer that appeared out of this grove of trees, I visualized them that way. And as I did that, literally more and more and more of them came, because they responded to that energy. Not anything that I was doing, really, but just holding them in that energy of what they truly are. And then as I brought my focus in a little closer on the little path that was right outside the door, there was a blue jay, and then there was a little squirrel, and then even a little mouse came. And when each one came, I would visualize it as being made completely out of precious jewels. And it was incredible to me the length of time that each of those little animals stayed there. When, if I had just looked at them as at the little bird in its little feathered costume, which is equally as beautiful, it would probably have flitted in and out. But just holding them in that presence makes such a difference, and we can do that for each other, for the animals, for the plants, and for the earth itself.
Well, yes, and as you're doing that, it helps everyone else see the jewels that they are.
That's right.
Yeah. So, you know, the thing that I've asked for over and over, and, you know, the karmic board meets in a few days, and also we're receiving this great influx of illumination and blessing and enlightenment. Yes, it is. And given the fact that it is important to ask for what we want, I've asked for something that I've been asking for years and years, and I've been told that it will happen. And so I just want to put it out here, what I'm asking for. And I wrote it down. I petition the Karmic Board and the Legions of Light for a 3-day epiphany for all life. I'm sorry, I'm getting a call, and it's in which all human creation and consciousness is set aside and everyone looks on the face of God, our true identity, and each one experiences the joy and love of God, knowing that which we have been craving, the home of love, and being returned there. And each is given unlimited assistance during that 3 days to clear everything which would be an obstruction to heaven within and without for eternity. Each is shown clearly our piece of the puzzle to keep it as heaven on earth. All that has caused distress on this planet is corrected, disarmed, disbanded, consumed, and dissolved as if it never were. For in knowing our true identity, we are flooded with love for all life. After the 3 days, of course, everyone has the free will to choose to go back to the way it was. The 3 days does remain as an indelible memory, and so no one is willing to do to any part of life that which we would not enjoy ourselves.
That's beautiful.
So, I mean, do you think that's an unrealistic thing to ask for?
No, I think anything that we ask for all of creation is perfectly wonderful and good, and nothing is too much to ask for if we ask it for everyone, for all beings.
Well, I'm really just asking for everyone to be happy.
Yes.
And I'm asking for people to cease doing the things that are cruel. And so much of it is done with absolute unconsciousness. Like, I remember when we went to see that movie, Babe.
Yes.
Sunny said, "Now, half the parents are taking the kids out to McDonald's to talk about what a great movie that
yeah.
was." Here's a Happy Meal, a Big Mac. Don't worry about Babe and his friends. It was just a movie. But I'm really asking for that awakening that doesn't allow that anymore, Sharon.
Right. And really, literally, people just don't think, or they don't take to heart what power their individual actions have for the positive or negative. And I think we really are at this time called to clean up our act, absolutely down to the most minute detail of what we do, so that our whole life becomes a prayer and an honoring of all life.
Yes. Well,
animals so much are with us here, you know, particularly our companion animals, to call us on our stuff and to show us who we really are. Because when we look in the eyes of our dog or cat or rabbit, they see right through us, not only to who we are, but to what we're capable of becoming in any moment that we fully choose it.
You know, I don't experience that with my rabbits. They're kind of a surly lot.
I'm showing you that surliness is fine. We all need a little surliness.
Well, they're dissidents. You know, they're dissidents. They're the Peace and Freedom Bunny Coalition.
They are,
and
for sure,
yeah.
They are.
But I sometimes feel like they punish me a little bit for things they haven't forgiven humanity in general for.
Oh, yes, of course, and animals will do that, and everything and everyone in our experience will mirror back to us either some unresolved part of ourself or an unresolved part of the collective consciousness. And I think that the best approach is to take it with grace and ease. I mean, if the bunnies need to be angry, I think in their wisdom they know that they can get away with that with you, that you can hold the space for it.
I do.
Yes, that it isn't personal, that it really is an anger and frustration that people aren't moving forward more quickly. But here we are at a time when we can move together into beauty and harmony in the blink of an eye.
In the twinkling of an eye.
Yes.
And Sharon, also you and I have experienced animals that are actually working on a project to change the past so that animals were never abused on this planet.
Yes. So we can
that all... is so exciting to me.
Isn't that exciting? And it that happens on all levels with all things, that we can revision the past as much as the past exists in a way that it never stepped anywhere out of that state of jeweled perfection that we were talking about.
Yeah. Well, it's right out of the Course in Miracles. The Course in Miracles says when one mind is completely healed, the world will be healed. And it says when all forgiveness is complete, time will roll up like a carpet.
That's right.
As if it never was. So I want to go back to what you said about animals holding the Christ consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
There is a certain religious organization that I have received tremendous, tremendous value from. And, however, the head of it used to wear furs and also said that you should never have animals in your environment because they lower your frequency and vibration. And then I was told, what? Just a sec. Let me finish the whole thing so you can. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. What?
I say, I think we lower theirs.
I think you're right. But I was told by another member of this organization that the reasoning behind that is that the Ascended Masters can give us great radiations of light and transmissions, but they can't be brought into our homes with the animals there because the animals have a lower frequency and vibration, and so it would harm for it to come into our homes. What do you say about that? I can't wait.
I think it's bullshit.
Bullshit! Yes!
Because, of course, all one has to do is to look back in history at some of the greatest enlightened beings of all times, and they were surrounded by animals.
St. Francis, notably.
St. Francis, Jesus, Ramana
yes.
Maharshi, many, many, many others. I mean, it's just... And I don't know about you, Iris, but when the Ascended Masters come to me, they always come to me surrounded by animals. And Saint Germain himself appeared as a panther. The animals are there.
You mean they are already where we want to be?
They're already where we want to be, and they're... It's a odd thing with human beings that we somehow think of, when we think of ascended masters, we think only of people who have perfected themselves on earth and then gone on in an ascended way to help. But my feeling is that there are ascended creatures of every kind. And we also forget that the body that we are in during our time on earth is really just a costume. So your dog or cat or the little bird that lands in the tree outside your window may well be an ascended master.
Explain what an ascended master is.
Oh, I think you could do a better job at that than I could.
Well, an ascended master thinks only thoughts of perfection and that which is constructive and for the highest good of all, and they have my belief is that you just jump in here anywhere, but my belief is, my information is that this school is this planet actually is a school for mastery.
Yes, and absolutely.
And that maybe the only thing to learn is to be completely love.
Yeah.
And so that is what an ascended master is. There is no hatred, there is no jealousy, there is no distress, there is nothing that destroys the peace. And that being vibrates that frequency and as an eternal blessing to all life. So everything that goes out from them is a blessing.
Exactly.
There is nothing that is detrimental. There is nothing that does not serve every part of life. There is nothing that is less than perfect happiness. And
you could as easily be describing animals.
Yes. In fact, I have this wonderful kitty that you actually picked, and we went to the Humane Society in Mount Shasta one day thinking that I was going for a dog.
Yes.
That I had had before. And, in fact, the dog that I had had before called me there that day, and I thought it was a dog that they had there, and I called up, and they said, yes, that dog is here. I described the dog. They said, that dog is here. And so when we got down there, the dog was gone. But you looked at this little kitty, and you said, this is the reason you're here. And you said, he's an angel, and he's never been on earth before.
And then what happened?
Oh, I brought him home.
He reached his little paw through the bars of his cage.
Yeah. And looked into our eyes.
Yes.
With all the love of his being. And he has taught me so much. And one day I was having one of those, I wasn't having a good day anyway, and then I had to deal with the phone company and a few voicemails and stuff like that. And when I got done, my emotions were just churning. I was just so upset and frustrated And I didn't know what to do with myself, so I just laid down on this lounge, and he was laying next to me and just purring and loving me. And I thought to myself, wait a minute, do I want this feeling that I'm having, or do I want the feeling that he's having?
Yeah.
And so I was able to, he actually healed me. I was able to actually match my frequency to his. So I see what you're saying. He did raise my frequency there.
Yes. And cats in particular, when they purr, their purring is at a very high vibrational rate. I mean, you can't be around a purring cat and not have your energy greatly elevated.
I have another story about that. Somebody that was working on our house was, you know, people tend to tell me their problems. So this guy was really, really, really upset with his teenage daughter, and he was telling me about it, and he was breathing like this, and the veins were sticking out in his neck, and he wasn't somebody that handles his emotions well anyway, and he was practically yelling as he was telling me this, and in fact, he was upset with his daughter and his girlfriend. And, I mean, he was just radiating waves of anger, you know. one of the kitties, Daphne, Princess Daphnis, she circled him a couple times and rubbed on his legs. And I'm saying to her inwardly, get away from that man. Don't even think about it.
And she probably says, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And then she put her paws, she walked up his side until she had her paws against his waist, and she leaned her whole self into the side of his leg and started to purr, and he just stopped in mid, you know, yell and looked down at her, and he said, with the look of childlike delight, he goes, oh, do you want up? And he picked her up, and she's just purring, and he just went totally into the space of little child. And I swear, Sharon, she healed him. And yeah. I was just going, holy cats, I didn't see that. Holy cats, Batman!
And isn't it interesting that it says in the scriptures that unless we become as little children, we can't enter the kingdom of heaven?
Yes, and he did enter the kingdom of heaven. He was in hell.
Right.
The guy was in hell, and she saved him.
She did.
And I have seen that. Huh?
She did.
I have seen that over and over. I have another one, another cat miracle story. I was doing a session with a lady, and we were sitting facing each other, and I had a cat at that time. His name was Babiness, and he was a Himalayan and just a gorgeous cat. But he was very aloof. He never went up to anybody he didn't know. He was very selective, you know. And as we were talking about something that had nothing to do with cats, he came and got in her lap and started to purr. And she talked on about what she had come for several minutes. And then she started to just shake and sob and sob and sob. And I said, what is it? And she said, well, I had a cat like this, and I had to move. So I left her with my mom for a while because I had to move twice. And the cat was brokenhearted, and she got really sick and died. And I have never forgiven myself for that, and I've never had another cat, and I so much want a cat. And so she forgave herself and went out and got two cats.
That's wonderful.
Isn't that wonderful? And it was totally a babiness healing.
Right.
Sharon, I didn't do anything.
Isn't that wonderful?
It is really, really wonderful. And I'm just so grateful for that.
And it's just, these are such beautiful examples of how very simple healing is and how very simple it really is for us to enter the kingdom of heaven here on earth now.
Yeah. I want you to say something about people that are taking their animals to shelters of foreclosure, Sharon.
Oh, well, I think for number one, it's, before we even touch in on the animal part of it, that people are simply buying into a mass hysteria about lack of abundance, and there is no lack of abundance.
Animals know that.
Animals know that. And unfortunately, as is often the case, when people fall out of integrity and truth, and when people begin to fall into thoughts of negativity, it's the animals that suffer. And I've always felt that the suffering of animals and the suffering of Christ are very much in alignment, because
Sharon, keep talking. I have to get my cell phone. Sonny has called me four times. Sure. He is in so much trouble.
Go ahead.
He is in so much trouble. Keep talking.
So the suffering of Christ and the suffering of animals are very much related, because it all had to do with the defilement of truth and innocence. And Christ brought the truth, Jesus brought the truth to earth in the most innocent way, and was literally...
And was slaughtered like a lamb.
Yeah, slaughtered like a lamb. And the animals also bring the truth in the most innocent way, and they're slaughtered right and left, given up, you name it. So to me... Christ consciousness, I mean, the animals to me are already Christed, but for us to rise into a state of Christ consciousness or ascended mastery, we simply must regard the animals as equal beings with ourselves. So it's just, it's incomprehensible to me that a person could give up an animal any more than they could give up their child. And I don't mean it as a judgment, because I think people truly do things out of ignorance. I mean, they don't know any better. They don't know enough not to fall into fear, and they may not know enough to realize that the animal in their life may be actually the very being that can save them. So without
yeah.
criticism of any individual, it's a terrible shame. And it all goes back to a fear that there's some kind of lack of abundance, which is never true. I mean, it's really just all made up.
Well, also, even if people are afraid, it's like you have to be the part of the consciousness that says the buck stops here.
That's
and
right.
And it, you know, it's like, if I want to have a stable, secure home, give one.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? I can't say it more than that. I've thought of this before. I've thought, well, what would I do if I didn't have enough to eat? I give half to my animals.
That's right.
So I think that not only do we need to take responsibility for the animals, we need to take responsibility for the people that are not awake.
That's right. And really, the home, I mean, a home to me is not a home without an animal. And if you remove the animal, you're removing the energies of unconditional love, purity of purpose, devotion, courage, godliness, all of the things that are critical to our survival in the highest sense.
Well, yes,
so
and
if you
also
remove the animal, you actually remove the heart of the home.
Yes, and you know, I really want to encourage people that somebody adopted one of my kitties, and I didn't give him away. He sort of found her because I couldn't find the right person for him, and he found her himself. Yeah, he did it himself. Then she's like 83 or something, and she was having some health issues last year, and she wrote a note to me, and she said, please, I need to know that if something happens to me, you will see that he gets a home. And I said, I would take him.
Yeah.
I would just take him. Do people there where you live know that? And we made arrangements, you know, so that everyone knew that I would take him if something happened to her. And then I wrote her a note, and I told her, so many people her age wouldn't have the courage to just let themselves have a cat, even in fear that it would, you know, outlive them.
That's right.
But it is so adventurous and so good of her to live for today. I said, that's all anybody has. We have today.
That's right. It's absolutely wonderful. Just wonderful.
I think too
that people, this Christmas or New Year's, I really encourage people to go out and adopt an animal. If you live in a tent or you live in your car, and I can speak from experience because I did live in a car once, had nothing. Take an animal. The animal itself will bring you all the other abundance that you could possibly need.
Because you know what? They never worry about the rent.
They never worry about the rent.
They never worry about if they're...
where you live.
Yeah, and they never worry about whether there's food. They know there's food. Where is it?
That's right.
And the servants had better get it. Well, yes, I want to go back to that. I really want to encourage. I am thinking of a person right now that loves cats with all her heart, and she won't let herself have one because the last one she had, she spent about $9,000 on vet bills, and she doesn't feel like she has that. But I just want to say, there are places like Community Concern for Cats that will help people that can't pay their vet bills.
Right. And I think there's a way to care for ourselves and our animals that costs nothing. I mean, look at Lily. I have a kitty that's over 24 years old that's never been to a vet. And she's thrived on love and high energy and her own
flower essences.
Flower essences and her own incredible willpower.
Yes, she has. Above and beyond that, she's had the cat guru. That's what Gerald calls her, the cat guru.
But, you know, here, a whole other topic for conversation sometime really would be the whole realm of health care and how so much of it, you know, whether it's for ourselves or for our animals, it's really fear-based.
And well,
another way to look at things.
Well, let's talk some about that next week when you're on, Sharon.
That would be wonderful.
You know, I got a message from Edgar Cayce one time when a doctor asked me to ask Ascended Masters what would end AIDS on the planet. And when I asked, He actually changed the question, and it was, what will end disease and death and suffering on the planet?
Beautiful.
And you know the most, huh?
That's beautiful.
You know the most important.
Question.
Yeah. And the most important thing he said, the first thing he said, is we must stop experimenting on animals. That anything that causes suffering, anything we're doing that causes suffering, including invasive treatments with needles and knives, causes more suffering.
That's right.
To ourselves and to animals. And that's just a real tricky one to get, isn't it?
It's tricky, and it's so simple. We literally can't have health and well-being through the suffering of other creatures. It can't happen. So the way to perfect health and well-being is through love and compassion and kindness for every living being, including things like viruses and bacteria, which are also living consciousnesses.
Being kind to viruses and bacteria, how do you do that?
Well, I do because years ago, part of my whole path and opening to the work that I do now came through having Lyme disease, which almost killed me, which is a bacterial infection carried by a tick bite. And I can honestly say that I regard the ticks that bit me, that gave me the bacteria, as an emissary of God, because my life was going in a direction that was really not my life path at all. And through having the Lyme disease, I changed course abruptly and got on the path I'm on now. So to me, the bacteria that infected my system changed my life in the most incredible way. And I think on both a personal and a collective level, bacteria and viruses are doing their job, bringing our attention to various things. And again, this would be a whole other topic of conversation, but bacteria and viruses can be communicated with just as any other living thing can be.
So basically you're saying if something like that happens for you, lovingly ask for the message and the gift it's giving, and then take the gift and move on into your next level of good, thankfully.
Yes, and to never look at anything as an enemy. There's so much propaganda on television and advertising, fighting cancer, the battle against this or that. But there's nothing that comes into the mandala of our life that doesn't have a gift for us. So there is no enemy. And one really can ask bacteria and viruses, what gift do they have? What are you here for? What are you doing? And often once we get the gift, the negative aspect of whatever's happening goes away. It's as simple as that.
I think that's just been a hard one for people to remember, because a lot of those kind of presents, you'd just like to return to Nordstrom and forget the whole thing.
But they just get delivered again.
Oh, thank you.
It's like throw out a piece of flypaper or something. You get stuck.
Yeah, well, so tell me what, I know that what you're asking for is that all suffering for animals stops because people wake up.
Yes, all suffering for all beings, human beings, animal beings, plant beings, the mineral beings, the earth itself, that we all come into a state, as you said, of great joy, equanimity, and unconditional love for one another. Because everything is conscious, even things that we think of as inanimate, like the cup on my table. They all have consciousness, they all have awareness. And for me, I ask for health and happiness and joy for all beings and all things.
Oh, me too, Sharon. How beautifully, beautifully, lovingly put. Me too. Well, you know, I think that let's talk about Ho'oponopono for a minute, because I think that it's one of the most important things we can do when we see something that we don't want. Like yesterday, I met a woman who it just came up somehow how people treat animals, and she was so angry she started to just sort of almost hyperventilate about it, and it reminded me of how I used to get. And you said to me at that time, it's just so important to love those people too.
Yes.
And you know, I have to remember a time when I was completely asleep. I used to, I was a teenager, I ate a steak every morning for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
I got up and popped a T-bone steak in the broiler. And I just didn't think about it.
Well, that's
I just
the
didn't.
Thing, you know, when I was a child, too, I ate meat. When I was
well, people made you to start with, though, didn't they?
They did. But also there was a complete disassociation between what was on the plate and where it came from.
It came from the grocery store, right?
It came from
a package.
Exactly.
yeah, that's what I thought. And then I went to a farm. And I was exceedingly upset to find out.
Yes.
But...
So this is all part of our awakening, is to do everything as consciously as possible, to be consciously aware of what we're eating, what we're wearing, where it came from, what suffering it might have caused, to try to avoid causing suffering as much as possible. And if we can't, for some reason, to at least honor every single being that took part in bringing whatever it is to us.
Yes. Well, the Ho'oponopono is a healing for doing these four steps. Is saying to everything where you encounter something that's not what you want or doesn't feel like the perfection of God or doesn't produce happiness, is to say, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. And as I've been doing that, I noticed that, you know, I really love chickens. I've had chickens for pets, and I really love them. And I feed my cats chicken. And so when I open it, I say to the chickens, I'm really sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you, which is the truth. And then I ask for a divine solution there, because I haven't found that yet about, you know, making my cats vegetarians.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think in the world as we currently inhabit it, sometimes that's what we have to do, is to do the, I always say it wrong, is it
Ho'oponopono, and I only know that from being repeatedly corrected.
and so saying that, you know, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you, is so, so important, because if we all do that all the time, everything will change. And I think that we can, by our example, help animals to not need to eat other animals, because it all started with human beings in the beginning. I mean, the animals, the predatory nature of animals arose as a reflection of the predatory nature of human beings. So as we become more vigilant about what we take into our own bodies, the animals will change.
Well, you know, I think that the powers of nature and forces of the elements are full of mimicry too.
Yes,
and
that
the storms and the, you know, all of the raging things, that those are as a result of people's rage. And you know, people say, well, how could God let this hurricane happen that killed all these people? Guess what? The combined
That's right.
emotional bodies.
That's right.
What?
That's right.
So, you know, people, there's many people that have an emotional body like a hurricane.
That's right. And, of course, the earth itself has an emotional body, which reflects the emotional body of collective human beings. So you're right.
And animals.
It's all a reflection. That's right.
So I just want to encourage everyone to adopt an animal if you possibly can. I've been thinking about adopting another animal, Sharon. What do you think? Do you think we're on the tilt point?
No. I think one more could come.
A cat or a dog?
It depends on the individual. It would have to be just the right resonance. Other than that, it wouldn't matter.
Well, I would like to give one a home for Christmas, and I would like the right one to be made obvious to me and have it happen in a really natural way. And I would like everyone that is loving cats and dogs that can give one a home to give that to yourself for Christmas, please.
You couldn't give yourself a more incredible gift. And I think for people who feel that they can't adopt an animal, you could go to the shelter and just spend time there.
You could be an auntie.
That's right. You could be an animal auntie.
You could hold them and love them.
That's right. And sometimes if you go into a shelter and you just hold the animals and cuddle them, then other people that come in that may be looking at the animals will see a loving and loved little being instead of some scared little creature in a cage. So by your presence at the shelter, you may really be helping an animal find a wonderful home.
Yes, and just your... Did you notice the day we went to the shelter there together that all of a sudden it was swamped with people that wanted animals?
They came out of nowhere. It was
amazing. I know. The place felt filled up because yours and my prayer is that all animals have a good home where they're loved and held and cherished and adored and fed and honored and treated as they deserve.
Yes.
Sharon, we're almost out of time, so I want you to tell people how they can reach you.
I can be reached most easily through my website, which is anaflora.com, or by calling 530-926-1245.
And it is such a gift for all animals and all people that you are on the planet now. And I want to say to you the most happy and joyous Christmas ever with your vision fulfilled, Sharon.
Oh,
I ask for that with all my heart.
All our listeners, too, may this be
yes.
wonderful, transformative, light-filled Christmas and New Year's ever.
And we will be back next Monday at 2 o'clock. Have the most joyous holidays ever and all your dreams come true. I love you.
We love you.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep shining until then. Happy trails to you till we meet again. I love you. And this is my wish for you, that all your dreams come true and are 1,000 times more wonderful than you ever dreamed possible. Aw, men, aw, women, aw, children, and yeehaw!